Hello, and welcome to our Lectio Divina practice. As we get ready to get into the Word today, let's begin with gratitude. What are one or two things you can name specifically that you're grateful for today? It can be big or small, but just think of one or two things you can think of immediately. And as you think of these things in your mind, let's just let gratitude wash over us. Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you for blessings big and small. Lord, thank you for the space to listen to your word. Thank you for your spirit that prompts me toward you. Thank you for waking me up this morning and putting me to sleep last night. Thank you for another day. I begin this practice today with gratitude on my lips and peace in my heart, no matter where I might find myself in this season. Holy Spirit, we invite you and we yield to your promptings. Speak, for we are listening. Form us that we may have Christ in and through and before us. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Today, we'll be reading about the woman at the well with Jesus. It's a bit of a longer passage, and many of you may be familiar with it, as PB also spoke about it on Sunday. But as you listen, try to imagine yourself there. Be in the scene. Imagine the heat of the midday sun. It can be quite hot here in Southern California, so it's not too hard to imagine. But imagine the sun beating on your skin as you sit alongside Jesus and the Samaritan woman. Ask the Holy Spirit, what do you want to speak to me through this story today? So we begin with the NLT version of John 4, 1 through 42. Jesus knew the Pharisees had heard that he was baptizing and making more disciples than John. So he left Judea and returned to Galilee. He had to go through Samaria on the way. Eventually, he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar, near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Soon, a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Please give me a drink." He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy food. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" Jesus replied, "If you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me, and I would give you living water." "But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket," she said, "and this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who drinks this water will soon be thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life." "Please, sir," the woman said, "give me this water then I'll never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come here to get water. Go and get your husband, Jesus told her. I don't have a husband, the woman replied. Jesus said, You're right, you don't have a husband, for you have had 5 husbands, and you aren't married to the man you are living with now. You certainly spoke the truth. Sir, the woman said, You must be a prophet. So tell me, why is it that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship, while we Samaritans claim it is here at Mount Gerizim, where our ancestors worshipped? Jesus replied, Believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter where you worship the Father, on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans know very little about the one you worship, while we Jews know all about him, for salvation comes through the Jews. But the time is coming. Indeed, it is here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. For God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus told her, I am the Messiah. Just then his disciples came back. They were shocked to find him talking to a woman, but none of them had the nerve to ask, What do you want with her? Or, Why are you talking to her? The woman left her water jar beside the well and ran back to the village, telling everyone, Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah? So the people came streaming from the village to see him. Many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus because the woman had said, He told me everything I ever did. When they came out to see him, they begged him to stay in their village. So he stayed for 2 days, long enough for many more to hear his message and believe. Then they said to the woman, Now we believe, not just because of what you told us, but because we have heard him ourselves. Now we know he is indeed the Savior of the world. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, if you listen to the sermon PB gave on Sunday, we remember that what we learn about this woman is she's not a prostitute or an adulterous woman. She's not a figure of shame. Instead, she is a figure of devastation. She was likely discarded by her community and depressed by her situation. Her community likely saw her as cursed, stuck, and she likely felt powerless and used up. As you reflect on this passage again, have you ever been in a situation like this? Have you ever felt like you were discarded by society or devastated by life? Maybe there was a time you felt absolutely stuck by your circumstances, or maybe you've had this thought that you're just a magnet for bad luck. I know many of us have had this kind of thought, this would happen to me. Place yourself in the Samaritan woman's shoes, where she is when she encounters Jesus, and when Jesus meets her exactly where she is, in that unlikely place, the middle of the day at the well. I'll give you a minute to reflect. Thank you. Let's read the passage again, and this time in the Message version. Jesus realized the Pharisees were keeping count of the baptisms that he and John performed. They had posted the score that Jesus was ahead, turning him and John into rivals in the eyes of the people. So Jesus left the Judean countryside and went back to Galilee. To get there, he had to pass through Samaria. He came into Sychar, a Samaritan village that bordered the field Jacob had given his son Joseph. Jacob's well was still there. Jesus, worn out by the trip, sat down at the well. It was noon. A woman, a Samaritan, came to draw water. Jesus said, "Would you give me a drink of water?" His disciples had gone to the village to buy food for lunch. The Samaritan woman, taken aback, asked, "How come you, a Jew, are asking me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink?" Jews in those days wouldn't be caught dead talking to Samaritans. Jesus answered, "If you knew the generosity of God and who I am, you would be asking me for a drink, and I would give you fresh, living water." The woman said, "Sir, you don't even have a bucket to draw with, and this well is deep. So how are you going to get this living water? Are you a better man than our ancestor Jacob, who dug this well and drank from it, he and his sons and livestock, and passed it down to us?" Jesus said, "Everyone who drinks this water will get thirsty again and again. Anyone who drinks the water I give will never thirst, not ever. The water I give will be a spring within, gushing fountains of endless life." The woman said, "Sir, give me this water so I won't ever get thirsty and won't ever have to come back to this well again." He said, "Go call your husband and then come back." "I have no husband," she said. "That's nicely put. You have had 5 husbands, and the man you're living with now isn't even your husband. You spoke the truth there." "Oh, so you're a prophet. Well, tell me this. Our ancestors worshiped God at this mountain, but you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place for worship, right?" "Believe me, woman, the time is coming when you Samaritans will worship the Father neither here at this mountain nor there in Jerusalem. You worship guessing in the dark. We worship in the clear light of day. God's way of salvation is made available through the Jews, but the time is coming. It has in fact come, when what you're called will not matter and where you go to worship will not matter. It's who you are and the way you live that count before God. Your worship must engage your spirit in the pursuit of truth. That's the kind of people the Father is looking out for, those who are simply and honestly themselves before Him in their worship. God is sheer being itself, spirit. Those who worship Him must do it out of their very being, their spirits, their true selves, in adoration." The woman said, "I don't know about that. I do know that the Messiah is coming, and when He arrives, we'll get the whole story." "I am He," said Jesus. "You don't have to wait any longer or look any further." Just then His disciples came back. They were shocked. They couldn't believe He was talking with that kind of woman. No one said what they were thinking, but their faces showed it. The woman took the hint and left. In her confusion, she left her water pot. Back in the village, she told the people, "Come see a man who knew all about the things I did, who knows me inside and out. Do you think this could be the Messiah?" And they went out to see for themselves. Many of the Samaritans from that village committed themselves to Him because of the woman's witness. "He knew all about the things I did. He knows me inside out." They asked Him to stay on, so Jesus stayed 2 days. A lot more people entrusted their lives to Him when they heard what He had to say. They said to the woman, "We've heard it for ourselves and know it for sure. He is the Savior of the world." Amen. What about this story resonates with you? How do you envision Jesus throughout this exchange? What do you notice about his tone, what he's saying? I'll give you 2 minutes here to reflect. Have you ever been in a state where you felt utterly powerless? I know I have. I've been in that place where it feels like it's me against the ocean. Even if I fought with all my might or tried to outsmart or perform or find solutions, I couldn't. Unfortunately, some of us will find ourselves in this place of powerlessness, whether it's by our own consequences. Maybe it's our own mental health, or maybe it's external factors beyond our control, like family or the brokenness of society. But what's beautiful about this story and this exchange between Jesus and the Samaritan woman is that we see and hear and know that God meets us right there, under the beating of the sun in the middle of the day, when we think no one will be there at all. Jesus offers himself. He sees us in our devastation and our depression, stuck in cycles and unsure for a way out. And he meets us exactly where we're at, saying, "You don't have to wait any longer or look any further. I am he. I am the Messiah." Let's pray. Lord, you know me inside and out. You are the God who meets us at the well. You are the God who says, "I know what you've been through. I see you. I'm here." Lord, we need your living water to bubble up in us like a spring. And as it floods in our spirit, may we give out of the overflow. This hope, this joy, your presence into a world thirsting for you. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Thanks for joining us for this week's audio Lectio Divina practice. Until next time, bye.